On today's program, my goodness, we finally wrap up the listener request month. This has been a real struggle for some people in this room. I'm mainly referring to myself.
Sure.
I think this is the absolute worst batch of films we've ever had to sit through in one fucking month.
In a poker hand, it's a pair of twos. It's like literally, like it's something, but you really should have folded it.
I thought it was like five of the rules of poker cards.
And one of them is covered in dog piss.
Hey, should we be playing with these?
This is I Know Who Killed Me. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And I Know Who Hates Movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to the fine program, as always. Here we are, wrapping up the 2018 Listener Request Month. And to our gentle listeners out there in WHM land, thanks but no thanks. This has been some trash. You all succeeded in breaking me. Including this week's episode, I know Who Killed Me, from 2007, directed by Chris Sivertson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know Chris Sivertson?
The
no? Okay.
Did he that guy that was sticking at that deli for a while?
Yeah, then he made I Know Who Killed Me, and then he's back at that deli. I don't know what this dude's deal is, but this dude will always have directed I Know Who Killed
he's
Me.
He's doing stuff.
He writes, he wrote a really bad Chris Maloney movie called Marauders.
Look at this. This guy's already more successful than we are.
And he co-wrote that, it's Amazon not very review? Good. Lucky McKee. All Cheerleaders Die. It's some horror movie.
Oh, he directed that.
He co-directed that with Lucky McKee.
That's great.
But no.
So this was requested by Char from Sacramento. Let's hear what she had to say.
This is Char from Sacramento, California. I've been listening to you guys since the Batman v Superman episode. Been laughing ever since. I wanted to request 2007's I Know Who Killed Me with Lindsay Lohan. It's really weird and really dumb, and it's like this psychological thriller / serial killer movie, and she plays her own twin, and it's like a really creepy bookend to The Parent Trap, so I thought it would be fun. Okay, thanks, bye.
And that's pretty much it. Char covered it on the call, so we'll see you guys next week.
All right, the movie next week will be...
It's brand new. We're out of listener request month, guys.
So I guess we have to talk about this movie. This is one of those, like, famous bad movies that other shows, I understand, have done at this point.
I believe it swept the Razzies.
Oh, wow.
It did.
Yeah, congratulations.
It did. I think, like, 8 out of 9.
Yeah, it was like The Shape of Water for Razzies.
This is a movie where Lindsay Lohan plays two people, but...
Does she?
Well, the movie likes to think that it's playing games.
Yes.
But it's just a predictable, terrible movie.
It is kind of funny that you mentioned, like, oh, so this is the one where she played two people, like The Parent Trap and Freaky Friday. Like, it's just like, it's a trilogy.
Well, it is a trilogy. Yeah, you're right.
Well, it's to show she's ready for adult material, motherfuckers.
That's the thing. Here's the thing. She should have just been a child actress. End of story.
Yep.
She was a fine little kid actress. That's fine.
Mean Girls, though.
Mean Girls is good. She's good in A Prairie Home Companion.
Okay.
Mm. I mean,
but
like,
in A Prairie Home Companion, she's kind of just doing little girl Lindsay Lohan. She's just, like, older.
Oh, God. Now I'm thinking of that creep Garrison Keillor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at my red tennis shoes. Now look over here. No, that's too far. Just look over there.
Got a little white on my tennis shoes.
Oh, Lord.
Here's a story about wheat.
They should really just fucking cask of Amontillado that dude, just brick by brick.
They put him out to pasture.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
So this movie starts with a song. The music in this movie is terrible, but you guys know is the song that kicks off this movie... The visual accompaniment is Lindsay Lohan pole dancing, for all the creeps out there.
And, with blood dripping down the pole.
Blood dripping down the pole, of course. And this song, this dude is singing like a fucking, Cake impersonator.
Oh, yeah.
Like the dude from Cake, or he's just talk singing. Bop, bop. Like, that's what's going on here, and this dude's terrible at it.
And it's... And it's just like, it's like bad Nine Inch Nails lyrics, like, I'm inside my head and I can't get it out. Fuck yeah. And like, I immediately was like, oh no.
Has anyone seen this before? Had anyone seen this
before? I got like 20 minutes into it once. Okay. And I was like drunk out of my mind. And I was like, nope. Abandoned ship.
I had never checked it out. It was one of those, like, it came out, everybody immediately said it was trash. It's had that 7% on the Rotten Tomatoes meter for like
quite some time.
Ages.
Holding strong.
Yeah, I never watched it till this. Yeah, I just avoided it.
Nobody has come around to like try to give it a second chance, which is nice. I appreciate that.
You know what? We're any day away now from the AV Club putting out articles about like, you think you know that movie, but you don't.
Oh man, yeah, bring on that think piece. I fucking dare you.
It's trash on purpose.
Yeah. I know who killed their own career writing that fucking thing.
The Star Wars prequels are meant to be bad. Don't you look stupid?
It's ugly as shit on purpose.
I mean, that's the problem. It's like bad M. Night Shyamalan. It's got a little bit of our dear good friend Butterfly Effect a bit.
Oh, yes. Big time.
Yes. Yeah, it's like extreme mind fuck.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Somebody hit the mind fuck button.
But do you know the worst?
The mind fuck button. I love it.
The worst part about this, though, is that this fucking filmmaker proclaims that like this movie is an homage to like Hitchcock, De Palma, and David Lynch. Eat my ass.
Well, I mean, you can the Lynch stuff is all over. Like,
yeah.
There's two of them, and they both got breasts. That's David Lynch. I mean, yep. Hang on a minute. A blue light's going in front of her face. You better believe that's Hitchcock and Vertigo. Oof.
Oh, the drive is fucking hot.
Yeah,
exactly. Yo, you bet. Dude, by the way, yeah, how is there not her making out with a woman in this movie? That's the one piece you're missing.
Cutting room floor.
Well, I mean, she had to have
making out with herself.
Whoa!
Yeah, you're totally right, Chris. Oh, bravo.
It's winning. It's a weird contractual thing that she had where she had to put in her contract, I will not do nudity for this movie.
Well, because the writing was on the wall with this script. Yeah, dude, are you kidding me?
So, Lindsay, you'd really help me out if you took a shirt off, man. You really kind of helped the movie out, you know.
I'm going to wear a sweatshirt the whole time.
That's a good question.
What's Optimus Prime?
Dude, this is her, like, I smoke too much as a little kid voice in this movie. It's fucking right there.
I'm a 17-year-old girl.
Well, yeah, by the time she does the canyons, it's like Tom Waits.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
I was so happy to be working with Paul Schrader. James Dean is actually a pretty nice guy.
The thing about, you know, the thing about Herbie the Love Bug that you don't get, man, is, you know, that car will drive on you, brother. That thing's going to go.
Well, it is fully loaded, man.
That's right. It was Herbie fully loaded, by the way.
Yeah, Costa. Jamie Lee's here. She's a real sweetheart. Matt Hart, man.
I still call Tina Fey on Christmas.
The AV Club just said Just My Luck is an underrated masterpiece.
What is that fucking movie I saw because I pulled up IMDb but I didn't look at it?
Rumor has it.
She's like pretending to be pregnant?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the fucking shitty DVD cover to that 100 times.
It's a DVD cover movie if you've ever seen one.
Oh, okay. It's just a fake belt. She's just like...
She's holding like a magazine with like a pregnant belly on the cover of the magazine and it's like lined up to her.
That didn't get released in theaters.
It was going to.
Oh, really?
And then everybody pulled it because it was trash. And then, like, this was in the middle of, like, all that rehab stuff. I mean, like, this was in the middle of the storm.
Right, yeah, which is a great time to be also trying to make a movie that you star in. Here's the thing, though. This movie is also a really bad way to do what that movie Nocturnal Animals executed quite well, I think, because you're for part of this movie, the twist reveals the framing device. Yeah, because the twist reveals it's not this, but like,
well, actually, the twist should have the original cut was.
Oh God! Yep, now what are we talking? Now I watched an alternate cut.
No, this is the real movie, but
just barely.
But the original cut said this was all a story.
So that's the vibe it tested poorly,
and they made it whatever this is.
Right, because that's that Nocturnal Animals movie is like you are watching.
Yeah.
You know, the Michael Shannon story is the manuscript that she's reading. And immediately I was like, I think that's what this is. This is her fucking dumb short story. That what fucking classroom is she reading this to?
Is she a high school student or college?
College.
She's college.
It looks college, but who's teaching this class? There's no teacher there.
Yeah, it's just
she's sitting.
She's just dropping knowledge, dude.
No, I thought she was like a substitute teacher just reading her own work to like a test audience. Crazy. This classroom.
That would be nuts. Like, no. To me, it's just like, okay, we can't pay another extra here.
But she's just reading a long story to this classroom. Does that even happen in colleges?
No. No,
right?
I've been in writing classes. You don't read the whole thing.
Also, people read it outside of class and then give notes later, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's how that's
going
to work.
So you don't stand up there going, "And my name was Dakota, and I worked at a strip club." Oh, she's not your average girl. None of that.
It's such trash. This is like a bad... Also, it looks terrible. Let me just say, this looks like a really bad student film.
Oh.
And this is fucking released by Sony Pictures. What are we doing?
I mean, I guess people wanted to be in the Lindsay Lohan business. That's the only way this got released.
In 2007?
I guess so.
I mean, whatever.
Or like it was kind of like, you could sell this as almost a horror movie and almost a drama and almost a thriller.
That's its main problem, aside from being like putrid, is like it wants to be all of these movies none of that works.
So, like, we kind of, like, cut... The beginning is a mess. I mean, the whole movie is a mess. But the beginning is a mess because you kind of don't... It's really staccato stuff of, like, first she's stripping, then she's telling a story, then she's, like, meeting with her boyfriend, and he gives her a blue rose outside of class.
Right.
And then they go... And again, this is college. They're dissecting a worm. I'm like, what is this, remedial shit?
See, that's why I thought it was high school, because now we've got, like, a lab buddy.
Yeah.
And, that to me screams, like, you're dissecting a worm, classic high school situation. No,
how about this, dude? Aubrey is in college. Dakota is in high school. Or wait, vice versa?
Oh, that could be.
I don't know.
And so this guy starts to like try and finger her in class, and she's like, could we not? Could we
While you have frog balls in your hands, could we not?
It's so awesome, though, because this dude's like rubbing her inner thigh, and she's like, no. And he's like, but I love you. And she's just like, I don't even really know you that well.
Well, so he's not even her boyfriend. He's just like going for it.
In class. My God, what a little pig.
Like, we just became lab partners yesterday. It's, like, what the fuck?
It's Paul, is it?
This guy comes to nothing.
Brian Garrity, I just remember the actor.
I was just making a joke that
he's
Lindsay
been
Lohan's character.
Stuff. Like, he's probably in Bully. Like, oh, okay. He's like that kind of group.
So this teacher gets interrupted because one of their fellow students has been killed. It's my favorite announcement ever. So the principal comes just, oh my God. Like, Lisa so-and-so was killed. Don't ask me any questions. I have no further details.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this, a bad press conference?
Well, I guess if you want to nip it in the bud, you know these kids are going to be asking you shit.
Just early day. Fucking send the kids home.
A plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. Don't ask me any details.
That's kind of how it went down in my high school, man.
Also, very crucial scene up front in this movie, man. We see her make a very... mature, well thought out life choice here. She quits piano lessons.
Oh yes.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. This is very important, by the way. This is hugely important.
I was actually shocked that this was so important because it's a hilarious scene. Like she does a piano thing wrong, and the guy who's like some old nerdy dude. Who, I mean, nobody's in this movie.
Fucking Tim Burton sculpture skulking around her.
It's Lindsay Lohan, Julia Ormond for some reason, and then
what fucking bet did she lose being in this movie?
Well, and then everybody passed, so it's Neil McDonough. It's always everybody passed, and then you go to Neil McDonough.
Well, the Julia Ormond
table
thing,
scraps. That's what they call in the business.
Neil table. The Julia Ormond thing, I think that's a direct Lynch thing, because Inland Empire is a year before this, and she's in that.
Oh. She was the only Lynch actor that was like, all right, I got one. We got one!
Do you think they went for Laura Dern?
They went for Laura Dern.
They wanted the parents to be Laura Dern and Kyle MacLachlan.
Yes, Sherilyn Finn was asked, I'm sure.
But I bet Laura Dern's just like Amy Adams in this regard. Oh, no, this is a piece of shit. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's...
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't do your piece of shit.
So here's a fucked up thing that I don't think is quite accurate.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, the parents of that dead girl are notified, right? Sure. And so we see the parents go down to the morgue to identify the body.
Yeah.
And they start crying. So it's like, all right, body identified. And then the coroner starts like reading the results of this autopsy in front of them. Yeah, I was like, I don't know about that.
No, you don't need to do that.
Like devastating them further.
It's like a scene within a scene, because then like we're watching the reporter transcribe it. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like a lot of interesting things are happening here. Every scene's a little bit interesting.
It is a little bit interesting. By the way, I just realized I had actually written down something she says in that classroom needs to be said. She knew how to turn thoughts into movies with a girl she looks just like.
What does that even mean?
Because the twist at the end was that apparently it was a screenplay, and it was, and like Aubrey's a character too, so it's a screenplay about a girl writing a story.
Oh man, I should have fucking read the Wikipedia summary.
Yeah, man, it's like a world within a world within a world.
Within a direct-to-DVD movie.
Have you ever seen Adaptation?
Okay, all right. How about a homage to Spielberg now? Okay, like Schindler's List, but it's blue.
Yeah, oh my God. Oh, could it be a high school football game for no fucking reason?
Oh man, that's like my Anne Frank.
Dude, what the flying fuck? It's a college football game or a high school football game, wherever they are.
I think this is all college or all high school, by the way.
Okay,
so I really think so.
But then the absence of the teacher makes even less sense.
Let's split the difference. It's community college.
It might be. So we'll call it high school just for the. It's a high school football game. She's with her friends, and it's like, oh, cool. It's a fun Friday night. And all of a sudden, everything turns black and white except for the blue jerseys.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And these characters are nothing. Like, it's a Lindsay Lohan movie about Lindsay Lohan only.
And she's got this, like, gaggle of friends that no one is given a name.
Nope. You never see them ever again.
And so, like, this
That's
football...
art, man.
That is art, man.
Can I make a point?
Yes, go ahead.
Please.
Because it is such a big scene. The Norquist piano teacher scene.
Oh, yeah.
What she won... I got a technical term here. The Next Young Artist competition.
Oh.
From what? Playing piano?
For playing piano. But it's just, and he says this multiple times, by the way. It's just like this bland nothing, and that is his driving force.
You know what? They should explore this more. Like, he invented that thing, you know?
He invented the award?
Yeah. It's in his basement.
Exactly. It's like a whole sham corporation.
Clink, clink, clink. Yeah, exactly. Because, like, well, that's the scene. Is she's like, I'm giving up piano to write more, and he's like, but you're fantastic. You won the next young artist award. That's not nothing, you know. That's not nothing.
If you know what's good for you, you're gonna want to win another one.
It's a respected competition among many of your neighbors.
Yeah. You know what's almost a good movie? S. Darko. And people say it's bad, man. It's pretty okay.
I never got a whiff of that movie.
It's terrible. Never even went near it.
You know, so nobody's seen it?
No,
I've seen it.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It involves a tornado, I believe.
Oh,
that's
shit.
All I got.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
So she leaves this football game.
By the way, I want to quickly mention
go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is what the episode is, everyone.
It's because what the movie is.
It's terrible. Lindsay Lohan's character in this is perfect at everything.
Oh, she's the best.
Like, best piano, best writer.
Not a great stripper.
No.
Well, that's Dakota.
Well, it's a burlesque.
Yeah.
So, come on.
Well, I think it is.
No, that's the title on the awning.
They changed it because she wouldn't get naked, I think.
Yeah. I just thought it was like an implied nudity. Like, we're only seeing the part before she gets naked kind of a thing.
Well, isn't burlesque then supposed to be a little bit bawdy and fun?
Yeah.
This is just disgusting strip club stuff.
No, it's exactly what Steve said. She didn't do the nudity, so they're like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm. We'll call it burlesque. Well, so, Yeah, she leaves this football game. They're like, oh, I'm going to go meet everybody. I'll meet everybody at the movie theater.
This is, by the way, for a high school kid, this is a packed fucking Friday night. Mm-hmm. You go to a football game, that's getting over with at like 9:30.
Yeah.
Right? Then you got to fucking haul ass to a movie for like 10 o'clock? Jesus. Right.
By the way, we're never in this fucking place again until the framing device kicks in.
Yeah, what place? Sure. The movie theater?
The high school.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't play any part, really.
No. Well, it doesn't have to.
So she basically gets abducted, right? I mean,
she
like
gets abducted. Her friends find out they she didn't make it to the movie theater. The boyfriend shows up. This is an obnoxious thing here where she's like, one of the friends is like, oh, where's Aubrey?
Yeah.
And the boyfriend's like, I don't know. Wasn't she with you? Oh, she's not here. Okay. Where did you park? And they're like, we don't know, on that street around the corner. And he's like, what? And they're like, we parked on that street. Oh, you know, it's the street we parked right in front of the fucking, like, Goodwill or
this
whatever
is
they say.
Just like David Lynch.
Dude, and I was just like, what do you mean they don't know where they parked in this small town?
And the kid goes, what year is this?
It just cuts off.
By the way, on this street, it's like Times Square. Like,
yeah,
there are thousands upon thousands of people just fucking in the way.
Well, I think what they don't clarify here is this may have been like a big game, like a homecoming game or something, and the crowd's going, the town is going apeshit over it.
God, guns, and never football, mind. I guess.
Just use your imagination, you motherfuckers.
That's a good question, though, actually. Where does this take place?
The Black Lodge.
It would.
So, I mean, she gets abducted, and we're like, oh, no, she got abducted, and then, like, everybody gets upset, and you're like, what's happening? And then you find another Lindsay Lohan in the road, and this is kind of where the movie starts, I kind of feel like. The beginning is a mess.
Yeah.
A lot, but you find this other Lindsay Lohan in the road, and she is badly wounded. They take her to the hospital, and whoops. Her leg and arm have been amputated.
That's correct. But the movie, unless I totally missed this, the movie isn't like, this is definitely another Lindsay Lohan.
No.
Like, they're actively looking for her.
Yes.
And they're looking for Aubrey, and they find Lindsay Lohan on the side of the road, and the movie just keeps going.
We get a lot of really fucking gross Saw hostile-esque.
Well, you're seeing, because they're
that's right, they're cutting in the other stuff. Right,
they're like, boy, like, oh boy, like the previews started. Where could she be? And then it cuts to her, like, getting her fucking hand frozen.
With dry, was it dry ice?
I think it's dry ice. There's a lot of hand trauma in this. Almost as much as a Star Wars movie.
We are cutting off hands.
We're lopping them off left and right.
Well, I mean, who needs hands more than Jedi, pianists, and writers?
Yeah, so it's the big reveal in this hospital. Like, she wakes up and it's like her leg, what's left of it, is like up in a sling, yeah. And then her arm's fucking cut off.
And she's got, everyone thinks she has amnesia because it looks just like Aubrey, but she now answers to Dakota.
Right. She's like, I'm Dakota, and also, like, now I'm like the bad girl. So all of a sudden her vocabulary is like, fuck every other word.
And her parents are there, and like, she's not, who the fuck are, like, it takes her five minutes to actually say, who the fuck are these people?
Well, cause she, yeah, well, we're doing like, we're mixing the difference until she goes, who the fuck is Aubrey? It's like, dun, oh.
Dun. She's also,
no, hold it, man. Hold it. Don't let the audience know just yet, brother. Great dialogue alert. When we're hearing her read the short story in voiceover, she just goes, but he didn't count on her will to live.
Because, like, she's talking about...
You just
about-
earned yourself a bathroom break, my friend.
BAFTA, here we come. Mountain Dew bathroom break. It's where you urinate and drink Mountain Dew at the same time.
I thought it was a gravity bong in the bathroom.
I thought it was when you urinated all of your bathroom and your bath mat has a little morning dew on it.
Oh, my God. Clean your house.
No.
Yeah, no, it's just... It's like, oh, you know... He left her for dead on the side of the road, but he didn't count on her will to shut the fuck up.
No.
Oh, my God. And then, yeah, she's like talking to this dude who's a psychiatrist, but he's also working for the FBI. Another great line here where she just goes, I know I may look a little like this Aubrey chick.
Oh, yeah.
Just listen to how things sound when you say them on set.
That's why she shouldn't be acting as an adult. It's, you know what I mean? Like, that line
so
is
fine. Yeah. She should be playing, like, she should have the mind of a child in this role.
Yes.
Oh, that would be kind of interesting.
Right?
She's just reverted to like a 5-year-old.
I don't know about this Aubrey chick, man.
Oh, are you a shrink? Great.
Change my diaper.
You know, Jane Fonda was just a peach on the set of Georgia Rule.
Oh,
get
man.
It, Georgia Peaches.
Same year. Same theatrical year.
Wow, what a big year.
She had another movie that year, didn't she?
In 2007?
Yeah, I think she did, actually.
Jesus.
Oh, Chapter 27.
Ooh. Ooh, I saw that one.
How is it?
Oh, it's terrible. Bad,
that's bad Jared Leto as Fat Joker.
You could have stopped after Leto.
I just feel like one of these actors is going to die one day, right? Like someone's like, oh man, he's gaining all this weight to play fucking Horatio Sands in the Horatio Sands movie or whatever the fuck. And somebody.
Diego Luna's really going for it, I guess.
And he's going to die. Like someone, or he's going to lose all this weight to be thinner Horatio Sands.
Well, that's the thing. We just saw Horatio Sands a couple weeks ago. Like he's looking really great. Oh, so, like, you could, that's a movie you could fat suit in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when you want to do SNL. Now, like fucking boat trip, Horatio Sands.
Sure,
get Gary Oldman in there. he's the most successful fat suit actor, I think.
Well, when Emil Hirsch tries to do fucking Belushi. Artie Lang, it will really, really be a problem. That might be the one.
And that's what I mean. Like someone's going to die at some point.
Yeah, you
especially
know,
when you go method with that knife in the chest.
I don't think like Christian Bale could do that like. 2 apples a day machinist diet anymore?
No.
Like he's too old for that. Would kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably, you know, he might be thinking to do that to take off the Dick Cheney weight he's been.
Oh, right. Yeah.
First of all, the pies.
He's pretty plump.
Dude, I think too much pie.
I honestly think he might never come back. I think he's going to be trapped as a fat man.
That's everyone's worst. That was my worst nightmare.
So we get now, she's like telling this psychiatrist a little bit of her story, and it's like, you know, her mother was a drug addict. She
OD'd. Says crack whore, doesn't she?
She certainly does. I was cleaning it up a little bit for the people listening.
But no, but I mean, that's what you have to understand with the script. Like, no one whose mother was a drug addict would refer to her as a crack whore.
Like, well, I mean, who knows? No, people hate people.
No, brother, specificity. What kind of drugs was she whoring for?
You know what? I wrote this script in middle school, and I'm not going to clean it up.
No notes. No notes.
It is what it is, man. The studio's going to live with it.
Pulling the wool over the eyes of Sony Pictures. These fucking idiots bought it.
So she's a drug addict, sorry.
Right, well, this woman's dead, and it comes to nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And she's like, so she's dead, and then I got a job working at this burlesque house.
Yes.
Okay. It's just a roadside strip club. I got fucking gonorrhea just looking at this.
I was looking at the strip club and like with the world within a world thing, and I just was like, is Sucker Punch good? Did I fuck that up? Did I fuck that? Is that a good
compared to this? Okay, it is.
You wish you were in the capable hands of Zack Snyder.
Of course, yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely, there is no question in my mind that Sucker Punch is a better movie than this.
There's like shots that have composition to them,
like things thought through.
You saw all these shots. You're thinking Snyder. I saw these shots. I'm thinking downtown Philadelphia. It's just like these, like when you take the bus into Philadelphia, you go through downtown and like it's there's a street where it's just like old fucking porn houses
Sounds
and old
like
strip.
Chris Cabin's got an axe to grind.
I do.
Yeah, seriously,
I'm gonna fight him.
So we're introduced to the burlesque show club, whatever manager named Fat Tina.
Oh right, yeah, she's top billed in this movie because they did it alphabetically. So
right.
the credits roll and it's like. Fat Tina, and I'm like, who the fuck was Fat Tina?
She's not called Fat Tina at all in the movie, and I guess it's like it's a joke name because it's the woman who plays the nun in like Conjuring 2 and Annabelle Creation.
Oh, so that's Fat Tina.
That's Fat Tina. This woman who is like as thin as a rail. So I guess it's just a gag.
It's like a tiny Lister Jones situation.
Well, yes. Tiny Lister's he's a huge dude.
He's a huge dude.
Yeah. So it is kind of the same thing.
Calling a fat guy slim. Yeah. It's like it's a weird nickname to have.
Yeah.
So she's working in the strip club. We do get a strip club montage Where should we get some more, like, Lindsay Lohan stripping to get some ass in seats?
Okay, now just hear me out. During this stripping montage, she takes a dude's cigarette and brings it on stage and puts it in her vagina and gives it back to him.
I mean, what kind of club is this? What are the rules here? Dude, I hope there's no cops in there, man.
This is one of those places like in New York State where it's an exotic juice bar, because if you do full nudity, you can't sell alcohol.
Exactly.
I mean, what can you sell if we're putting cigarettes in vaginas? That's a great question.
But the weird thing is, it's in this
establishment,
in this scene, there's also the guy, the murderer is there. The one thing we've seen of the murderer is he wears like a blue outfit and blue gloves.
Right.
And this guy's wearing, I don't think you're allowed to wear rubber gloves to a strip club. You're like, oh, sir, you're going to have to take those off.
Steve, I think you bring up a great point. I think it's a universal rule for strip clubs. You cannot come in wearing a disguise.
Yes. No shower caps? Yeah. Nope. No, not in the strip club.
Dude, this guy's sitting in the back in the dark corner looking like fucking Mark Wahlberg at the end of goddamn, what do you call it? Departed. He's got the fucking suit on, the little booties.
Dexter on the job.
Dexter's sitting in the back of this club.
And
it's
he had the good fucking...
Oh shit, bro, I'm gonna go kill Matt Damon and then go to Hooters.
Oh, I can't afford Hooters. I guess I'll go to the burlesque.
I'm sorry, I cut you off, Chris.
Oh no, never mind.
What is going on over here? You all right?
I just did that Tom Waits voice too much.
That'll kill you.
You mean that Lindsay Lohan voice.
Yes, yes, I apologize.
So she's at, this is a dumb scene because this implies paranormal activity and I didn't appreciate it. Where she's like waiting for the bus and this fucking like killer is like,
oh my God, this like, is the bye-bye man shit.
Yeah. He's like jumping like closer and closer and closer to her. Yeah. And then he's like behind. I'm like, how is this guy teleporting?
I mean, this is one of those things where you can't just change the end of your movie because it didn't test well, because that makes sense. In a non-real world, right? It's like, oh, it's dreamlike, and like,
right.
That's what we're trying to do here. But like,
right.
At the end of the movie, it's just all real. So
there's a solidness at the end. Like, it all has to be vaporous if it's going
to
be that way.
Yeah, I need this movie to be gaseous.
Make the killer like a demon that's attracted to twins or something.
Oh, no. Nice. Yeah, yeah. We watched it with those Miller Lite commercials. And twins! Or those Coors Light. I apologize.
Oh, right. You know what's a thing that people find funny and I don't understand it in the slightest?
Hate movies?
Yeah, that's the biggest surprise of my life. The second biggest surprise of my life is this Bud Light campaign where these medieval motherfuckers are saying dilly dilly. Have you seen this? Fucking people saying dilly dilly to each other?
Who says that's funny?
People! I don't know that they say it's funny, but they say it like it's like the next Waza kind of thing.
Not people. Marketing execs at Budweiser.
No, I've seen people on like social media be like, ha ha, dilly dilly.
You heard Cambridge Analytica say that.
Cambridge Analytica is getting to some people I'm friends with on Facebook then.
They sure are,
dude. I didn't know what it was at first. And then I saw the commercial and it's some fucking medieval king and they're like, oh my lord, we are out of Bud Light. And then this dude.
So it's like, good, let's get some good beer.
How about some ale? No, but then this fucking king just decrees like more Bud Light all around. Dilly dilly. And it's the dumbest. And they all go, dilly dilly.
I think that was their like Super Bowl commercial.
It was, but it's still playing.
Of course, because they're going to get as much money out of it as they can, I guess.
I'm just saying it's terrible. It's yet another reason to not drink Bud Light.
Yeah, boycott it. Let's start that. Hashtag boycott Bud Light.
Yeah, why not?
Tweet at Lindsay Lohan for some reason.
Is she on Twitter?
I'm not in no position to be boycotting any beers. Whatever you bought me is fine. Look, sweetheart, thank you. Oh, what's this? It's a Schlitz Light. Awesome.
Thanks. Oh, Schlitz Light. Oh, my God.
Excellent. I gotta get going. I got two clubs in Greece that I gotta manage.
I'm sure she's a lovely young woman.
Yeah, I'll sign your I Know Who Killed Me DVD. Standard def, that's the way,
dude.
I like it.
You just gave me like a horror premonition of horror conventions. Like, is she gonna be at these conventions signing like this fucking movie one day?
I'll tell you what, it's in the best interest of anyone who's organizing a horror convention to not accept that booth's application. There's a moment in this movie where she's in the hospital and then like she's dreaming about getting stabbed in the arm, and it starts happening like fucking Freddy Krueger.
I thought this is Krueger Town. I was like, what are we talking about?
Dude, a secret Freddy Krueger? Can you imagine if like fucking Robert Englund just jumped into this movie?
It would a be plus a better movie.
Better movie.
Big time. God.
Secret
Give me
Freddy?
Something. Make this villain something. This guy's just showing his gloved hands like, but give me something.
Well, that's the thing. If it was something like that, I bet you she would be at the horror conventions.
Yeah.
Oh. No, but there is no supporter of this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's not a horror movie. It tries to be a psychological thriller, yes. But it's also got these horror elements to it. So just go, literally, when you look at the script, you got to be like, all right, guys, you tried your best here. We're gonna cut this up and make this a horror movie because you know that's what? Our best bet.
Right.
The way to fix this movie is to not watch it and then just throw yourself headfirst down a flight of stairs.
Yes. That's what I wanted to do this entire time, right? But I was like, you know what? I only live on the second floor. I don't think it's going to do the damage I need it to.
Yeah, you would see better visuals. It would be a way better experience.
She starts getting cut up, and like her arm starts to bleed, and she screams in the middle of the night. She wakes up, her arm is bleeding, and the FBI is like camped outside, and this guy comes into her hospital room with a gun just blazing, ready for anything.
I don't understand why, and again, maybe it's a subtle detail I missed in this great movie. Why is the FBI involved?
Because the serial killer.
Serial killer.
Oh, my God.
No, because isn't the fat guy like...
Oh, the fat besieged
the
sheriff?
Yeah, he's the like, sheriff, there's one murder, it's not a serial killer.
That was before, I think, Lindsay got taken.
Yeah.
That's just when Jennifer, what's-her-name, was taken.
Right. Oh. And he was like, it's just one girl, get off my back.
Oh, that's what it was, maybe, right? Yeah. The first girl was African-American, and then they were like, Lindsay Lohan's been kidnapped, let's get right on it!
In this town, maybe.
I always love that in that Connect Four commercial where the guy's like, get off my back! That one
Oh,
chip.
Yeah, that surly Chip. Listen, that guy, if you don't want people on your back, Black Chip, you need to retire. Because that's literally your line of work is someone being on your back.
Well, Black Chip, you were jumped in the last outing there, and you were, the Connect Four all of you, just get off my back already!
Yeah, it says here your prior work experience is having people on your back. I don't know if that'll come in handy here at Burger King. But
look, I've been talking to the life pegs. They're fucking tired of being in those fucking cars, okay? Get the red guy off my back and get those fucking pegs out of the car. The trouble pieces too. Revolutions!
Oh, that's kind of like the fucking predecessor to the Emoji Movie, by the way. The board game movie.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly. You got the whole Guess Who cast in there. Mm-hmm.
So many bald guys on that.
You can end with Sorry.
Yeah, the Sorry things. I don't know what they are.
You need psychological profiles.
Okay, so board game movie. All right. First of all, your main character is the Monopoly guy, right?
Oh, he's the villain.
Oh, he's the villain.
Uncle Pennybags?
Yeah, he's the good guy, though.
Oh, who would be the hero? Fuck.
Oh, my God. Oh, Colonel Mustard, possibly. Oh,
but wait. Sexy. He had the candlestick in the study,
that's
though.
That's right. He's an attempted murderer.
Oh, it's a twist, dude. Colonel Mustard is a lot like Robert Redford in Winter Soldier.
Oh, I see.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take Miss Peacock, and we're going to make her young and sexy.
Oh, totally. Nice.
She's going to be played by Lindsay Lohan.
Oh,
right?
Great. Oh, the role of a lifetime playing Miss Peacock. Thank you.
Okay, it's called The Bored Movie.
And you will be.
Yeah, insert Norm MacDonald joke here.
I mean,
this movie, so what's this called?
I know who killed.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
I think that is the first time that's ever happened on this show.
There's obviously a lot to talk about since we're coming up with the board game movie.
So like she winds up going home to her parents. And her parents are like kind of taking it all in stride. Not a lot for Julia Ormond to do. There is one great scene where it's like, dude, take it down a notch. It's a scene because he's got Julia Ormond on set. This director's ready to fucking go.
Yeah.
It's Julia Ormond. It's in Lindsay Lohan's room. Tom Waits' voice is tough. He's got Julia Ormond. She's in Lindsay Lohan's room. She's got this bald cat, and she's in front of these ventriloquist dummies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is any of this? What is any of it?
There's also, like, she goes up to Aubrey's room,
yeah,
and there's, like, a table full of, like, trophies and whatnot. But then there's also a haunted doll collection.
Yes!
What is that? What is that? Just owning shelves worth of haunted dolls.
Why do you have ventriloquist dummies in your house?
This is something you can interpret, you know?
Oh, I see.
Many different ways you could read
this. Oh, like Lindsay Lohan's actually got someone's like hand up her back.
Right.
Puppeteering her.
Something called, like that. Yeah. What's that called? The imagery. No, wait. Similes. No, wait.
Get that director's dictionary down, man. We're going to figure this shit out.
Man, it's just such a rich tapestry, and you could write a thesis on this.
Oh, yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. So I was going to say, an important detail that she comes home with, she's given these at the hospital, a battery-powered fake leg.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, right. There's that rehabilitation scene where she's learning to walk and use her hand again.
And
she has
a fake arm. Hand.
Yeah. This is a fucking Luke Skywalker hand because they put that rubber flesh over it.
Yeah.
Luke's fake flesh looked way better, though.
Man, Luke's flake. Luke's fake flesh, man. I'll rent that.
I do love that scene in Empire Strikes Back when, you know, he gets the hand and they're pricking everything. Right. And then Luke goes, ouch. And the robot's like, I'm sorry I gave you an awesome hand and now you have feeling. Fuck you. Yeah.
That hurt, robot.
It's so great that they could replace all that shit.
Yeah.
When can we do that?
But no, so she has this robot hand. She goes home and her boyfriend shows up.
Best sequence in the film.
This is also science fiction. There's no way you could give someone a robot hand like that out of nowhere.
There's robot hands.
But that good?
Yeah, there's
that
a cool...
good?
I saw a very cool robot hand. There was somebody at...
Did you see this in 2007?
No, in 2000... No, well, no, that's true. In
did you see it in 2018's Black Panther on Andy Serkis's stub there?
No, there's a woman at South by Southwest who... she had a really funny post because her arm needs to be charged by a USB port. And she was at a talk... And she was like, wow, everyone's charging their iPods. I guess I can't charge my fucking arm.
Wow.
Yeah. And but then she wound up getting...
She said iPods?
Or no, she's younger than me, so she definitely didn't say that.
Well, good to know. Sorry, I take everything back. I was trying to like berate the scientific
community.
But I mean,
to be fair, in 2007, probably not, but
probably
I'm not sure.
Not. But also,
I don't know.
That said, you probably have to be a billionaire to get a hand that good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
thing. If I lost my hand, it'd be cardboard tube.
Yeah, dude, I'd have like a crudely carved piece of wood.
Chris Cabin, you'd have a mop.
Oh, it's a living.
They say he carved it from a bigger spoon.
So my favorite sequence in this movie
one
is
thing
right
we do
here.
One thing we do need to point out is now she's wearing red. You know what I
mean?
Because
right.
She was wearing blue before. Aubrey
fucking
wears...
flipping it!
Right. Aubrey wears blue.
And the boyfriend also gave her blue roses.
Yes.
Which is another fucking Twin Peaks thing.
Oh, right. The
blue
roses.
Yeah, of course. Weird.
And she's wearing red now because she's Dakota, which I'm also curious, like, where did she get these red clothes from? If Aubrey only wears blue...
Yeah, maybe there's like a deleted scene where there's a shopping spree. Like Julia Armand is like, you keep saying you're not my daughter. What can we do to fix it? And she's like, let's go to the mall.
Oh, my God. And then she's like Little Red Riding Hood. And the killer is sort of akin to a big bad wolf then.
Oh, it's like that movie Freeway. That
Freeway.
Movie's a wolf.
That might be a stay tuned.
That movie's
a
wolf?
No, woof.
Oh,
woof.
Yes.
Oh. Kiefer Sutherland plays like...
A child molester?
Right,
and
but
it's
he's
Reese
like
Witherspoon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and she gets picked up by Kiefer Sutherland, and he's like the wolf. And he's like sweating.
He's going around, he's wearing like a big stuffed wolf hat.
He's got like
on his
those aviator sunglasses. He kind of looks like the Unabomber in that movie.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty sharp. He winds up, so this boyfriend comes over, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Thank God you're alive. And she starts making out with him in front of Julia Ormond. And
yes.
Julia Ormond's like, you kids want cookies or what?
To which Lindsay Lohan is like, we're going to go upstairs to my room. And I was like, oh my God, is this actually happening? Because this character keeps insisting she's not this Aubrey person.
Out of curiosity, do you get hard to swordfish trombones?
Send up a bottle of vodka, three cigars. Do you want any?
Because that's essentially what happens here is she's like, we're going to go upstairs and fuck, and there's not a thing you can do about it.
But quote unquote,
listen,
mom.
I think she's in the right here because like you become a double amputee. You're going to take sex away still too?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
So she's they go upstairs.
She has to feel something.
That's right.
Well, and that's why she doesn't break in eventually.
Well, the weird thing is Julie Ormond, so they go upstairs. I'm sorry, you're going to
Well, they go upstairs and they just start fucking. And it is clearly, it is porno music. This is happening. And the gag is they keep cutting back to Julia Ormond in the kitchen, listening to her daughter getting fucked.
And also,
it's
dude,
awesome.
I'm sorry, man. You're playing a road game in someone's house and you've got, and you're, you know, the mom is in the house. You've got to button up. You cannot be moaning,
and
sir.
Nobody give, and it's the funny thing. It's the dude. She's not saying anything. This dude's like,
and it's
just like Julia Ormond is like looking upstairs. She's like cleaning the sink aggressively.
You know what? I know you haven't been to Target all week. Let's go to Target. Let's see what's at Target for a while.
Here's the thing. That's what's great about Target. There is always something. You just don't even know it yet.
2007, one of the best years at the movies. Let's go to the movies.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
All right. There Will Be Blood, No Country for Old Men.
Michael Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
All good movies she could
Georgia
have seen.
Georgia Rule.
Did you ever look up, was there a third one, or was it just those two motion pictures?
It was chapter...
I'm sorry. Oh, right.
So, she fucks this dude's brains out, and she's like, she's being the bad girl, so she's like, oh, man, did Aubrey ever fuck you like that? And she's like, did Aubrey ever fuck you at all?
And it's like, what are we doing here? Like, let's just proceed. But then it's like, she starts telling this dude, like, her story, and like, what the deal is, and this is a disgusting, disgusting sequence.
Yeah.
She's like telling him how, like, I was at work one day and I just started bleeding and I had to go home. And they cut to her, like, on the bus. Her hand is wrapped in a towel and she's just bleeding on the bus and smoking a cigarette. Dude, smoking and bleeding on a public bus, my lord.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
That sounds correct to some public buses.
I'll clean it up when I hit my stop, Your Majesty.
one of my favorite, I always like to overhear meth heads in argument, was someone, I was on a public bus in Baltimore, and this couple was arguing about what had happened last time on the bus, and hopefully this time they don't get kicked off the bus. And the guy said, I'm not even trying to ride this bus like that. Which is, I totally agree. Like, there are certain times you're trying to ride this bus one way, and other times you are not even trying to ride this bus like that.
But then, depending upon the person, sometimes you may wind up riding the bus like that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You start
by accident.
You go on the bus one way, something goes wrong.
Then this dude is forced to humiliate himself because she's like, listen, I got to get out of this house, but the FBI is outside. Like, let's launch this plan where the kid goes outside and asks all these FBI agents for condoms.
And it's a big laugh, and everyone's like, oh, wait, kid, mom, kid, me,
I mean, Jesus Christ, it's not like bumming a cigarette.
I mean, really? I mean, come on. I mean, I don't have any condoms. I mean, come on.
Wrapping it up. That's for babies.
This baby is like, shit.
But I'm not exaggerating. It's like 2 minutes of these guys going, oh my God, you see this kid?
And they're like, they got him like in a circle too, and they're just laughing and pointing at him.
There's fat Jack Foxworthy as one of these FBI agents. Anyone see this dude? Looks exactly like an overweight Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah. Oh no, I missed it. That's
what happens when you hit the Golden Corral.
I got this card. It says I can eat here for free whenever I want.
Look, you guys were shortchanging me. It's time to get my money back. Anybody have some condoms?
The chocolate fountains used to be bigger.
Yeah, you're going to be paying me back in roast pork.
If you walk into Golden Corral, you're not fat. They look at you weird.
Get me a cup of creamed corn to go.
Oh, ew.
Cream on the road.
Oh, man. Cream corn for later.
If you can sit through a Golden Corral dinner and then not get two desserts, you might be thinner than me.
Or if you can get through two Golden Corral dinners and not shit your pants.
So she gets snuck out. They wind up going to the first victim's house. The parents are like these grieving sitcom actors, which is kind of funny because the dad was definitely on Seinfeld. He played the dude with the dogs that Elaine sleeps with.
It's when you can't,
head to toe.
Can't afford Michael Biehn, you get this fella.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
These napkins made perfect little dog bandanas.
And then what is the woman on?
The woman, I have seen her in a bunch of sitcoms.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. She most recently, I think she's one of an Easy, Joe Swanberg's show.
Okay.
Oh, I wouldn't know a thing about that.
God.
What network is that on?
That's on Netflix.
No. So
Netflix,
therefore
the not network.
Yeah. Yes. So I'll never know what's on there.
Yep.
I'll never know who killed me.
You know what she's in? Is she's in that second Ouija movie.
Oh,
she's
again.
The mother in that. No,
that's why I don't know.
That's a good one.
That's what
I've second. Heard. The first really? One sucks. The first one's awful.
Oh, so The Board Strikes Back
is better.
Speaking of which, that would be great in our board game movie. We get the paranormal element, the Ouija board.
Well, he's the Doctor Strange of the crew.
Yes, totally.
You know Captain what? I, you know what I like about that, Eric? It seems easy to make the Ouija board the bad guy, but no, I like he's part of the crew. He's the fun one.
Exactly.
He's the mystic.
He's
going
to take down old money bags.
Yeah, Uncle Pennybags gets sucked into a vortex at the end of the movie.
What were those ghosts in fucking Scrooge? What are they? John Cratchit? No, that's the young guy.
Jacob Marley.
Yeah, there you go. You can bring up those guys to taunt the money bag man.
I do think that's the only way to stop capitalism is through supernatural intervention. So
I agree.
Oh, yeah, dude. That'd be pretty cool. Ghosts take down the stock market. Oh, it's called great. Ghost Crash.
Yes. Yes.
It's like all these ghosts from people who were around during the big one in 28, and they're like, learn from our mistakes.
The Titanic just arrived.
This would be great. Like, fucking, like... Victorian era also and like the stock market crash.
Yeah, dude, get some robber barons, ghosts of robber barons.
All those dudes that killed themselves, all these guys with like fucking blown open heads are coming back.
Bunch of fucking starved Okies.
Cauliflower ears as far as the eye can see.
Yep, exactly. Loving it.
Bumper crop.
So, I mean, this kind of comes to nothing. She winds up like gaining some information from this.
Well, because the mother is like outraged that she showed up because the whole deal is this character, Dakota, is refusing to cooperate with the FBI. Mm-hmm. And they keep saying like, listen, they think it's the same guy. So if you helped out and giving some information to the authorities... We could help, you know, they might be able to find our daughter's killer and you're impeding justice.
No collusion.
There was no collusion. It was a different serial killer. Or whatever the fuck. You know what's stupid about this serial killer? His fucking fake, like, Avengers toy cutting tools. It looks like Loki's staff, this fucking thing.
It looks like I used to have Legos that had, like, the Ice Brigade.
Yes. Yes.
It looks like what they used to have.
Yes. Yeah. What are we doing? What are we fucking thinking with this?
They're very expensive. Whatever they are, they're incredibly expensive.
I need a scene of like a Dead Ringers-esque scene of him like designing these and like making them.
Well, ask Jahuli to do it. Jeez.
Well, so Steve, you're saying they're expensive. So it's like when you go to Williams Sonoma and like a Japanese cutting knife is $1,300 and you're like, for one? Does it cut it and fuck me? Like what?
Oh my God. What is this? Seven?
No, it's just like $1,300 for a fucking knife. You're is it going to cut
buddy,
it any different?
You're the one that wants to fuck a knife.
Well, it better fuck me, clean my floor. I mean, I don't know. What the fuck? $1,300.
That's a lot of money.
Carry my groceries home. No, I get
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Like fucking cut the meal and then cook it for me too. Ooh,
how about this?
$1,300 for a knife. How's it going to buy me dinner first?
This knife doesn't make the cut.
Oh, there it is.
Dear God.
So, like, so she hold on. Where are we? So
McDonough is the culprit where she thinks what? That.
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
Oh, she expects
this is
father.
After. Well, she starts compiling information by visiting ask.com.
Dude, Ask Jeeves is involved.
Is that what Ask Jeeves became? Was
Ask.com. Yes. They got rid of Jeeves.
They fired his ass.
Oh, no. I've been let go. This job has been in my family
boom.
For years.
Jeeves is now in the board game movie.
But
Where am I to go, sir? Would you like, excuse me, sir, would you like some information?
Oh, man.
He'll command the hungry hippos.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He's just begging for some kilobytes at fucking the corner of GeoCities and Excite or Alta Vista.
Would you like me to look that up for you? I know Michael Dukakis's birth date.
The Google icon is just a G with colors. It won't even talk to me.
Well, no, please. I can tell you how many movies Lindsay Lohan had in 2017. I know lots of stuff. Please. What do you want to know?
I'll hold my hand over the tinder fire.
Oh, global box office receipts for the Lord of the Rings trilogy? I have it all. Oh, no. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Eagle-Eyed Cherry's entire discography. It's right here. I've got it. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, please. It's so cold here.
Would you like to... I'm sorry. Would you like to stream pornography illegally? I can do it. I swear I can do it.
Did you know that the Hogan's family was originally Valerie's family, but she was killed? I know that. I know it all.
That's the second time Hogan family's come up recently.
Speaking of which, correction of the past, I was thinking of Mama's Family. Mm.
Oh, different spinoff, man.
Yeah, wait, is it from the same fucking show?
Well, Mama, that started as like a sketch on the Carol Burnett Show, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, so, yeah, I watched shit ton of Mama's Family.
My beef was with Mama's Family.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. What, you didn't like Mama's Family?
No, I didn't.
No, yeah, that was an unpleasant couch. Show. Yeah, I kind of agree. Sometimes the couch is dirty and I'm out.
Yeah, dude, you want me to look at a dirty couch?
Oh, I'm sorry, what, so you're saying you couldn't watch Roseanne? Because that's the filthiest fucking couch in TV history.
But that's a couch I identified with at the time. It's like, yeah, that looks like my shitty couch.
Well, some people had fucking Mama's couch,
well,
man.
So then they can watch Mama's.
Oh, also, it's right around here. She asks Jeeves if she's experiencing the stigmata.
Yes, and we find out that she's a stigmatic... Well, first of all, we get like this DVD extra of Art Bell telling you what stigmatic twins are.
I love this. Oh, my God.
What
Art
were they
Bell,
thinking,
Coast
man.
To Coast AM. Well, this guy was probably a fan of that radio show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which did have its moments, and you could see from this film... Why Art Bell is made for radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get that accurate. Freak show out of here.
Do you think he got the call and he was like, you want me to be in a movie? Are you sure? You're not trying to call Jamie Bell, are you?
Is he smoking on the radio like this? Like I was just
he had
it
to
was
have been.
So weird.
All of his old promo shots had him smoking.
And he's trying to be like a fucking Rod Serling with his appearance too. It's terrible.
Yeah, well, he had a radio station in the middle of fucking nowhere in the desert. It was very romanticized. It was a cool program to listen to for a short period of time.
And he's just talking about like gleep glops and conspiracies
and
shit.
People would call in. Most of them would be like fake. Some of them maybe they're crazy and. Like good
or
production
both.
Value too. Like I remember one time this guy called him like from like a small plane claiming to be like flying over like flying to Area 51.
I believe you have sent me
the
audio.
Yeah, he
of
gets
this
like
before.
Shot down on the call, and Art Bell is like, oh my, oh my god. Oh.
Hello, Art. Yes, a long time, first time. Quick question: why would people want the information from a Swedish nonsense word and not from a butler? Someone let me know that.
First of all, I have to say, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Now, Jeeves, I'm not doing it. I don't have an Art Bell impression. Jeeves, we're talking about ghosts tonight.
Yeah, the ghost of my career of finding things. What do you want to know? I can tell you it.
Oh, I want to know what the world's like in the year 2535.
Well, I'll pull up a Philip K. Dick story for you.
No, no.
Royalty free. No problem. I've got it. Hold on.
Hang up on him. I got John Titor on the line who claims to be from the future. There were a lot of future guys on there.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Well, because what are you going to do, man, when you travel back in time? You're going to call into a fucking nothing radio show.
You got like 3 hours on there. It was pretty popular in the 90s.
Hey there, Mr. Bell. This is Yahoo. First time, long time. Know what I'm talking about.
Dude, yeah, Yahoo would be more like Matthew McConaughey.
Hey, man, we don't make any money. It's no big deal.
All right. Here's your movie time.
My name's Yahoo. So,
Yeah, we just bought MySpace. I don't know. Oh, did they buy MySpace or no?
Was that them?
No, I don't know. Fuck that up.
I don't know. I know that one time Justin Timberlake tried to save MySpace.
That's
I don't know
right.
Whatever happened with that.
So she winds up watching this video about stigmatic twins, which I couldn't tell if that's... I mean, it's not a real thing, but is that a real phenomenon?
No, I've never heard of this.
But so basically... It's,
made up for this motion picture.
It's if one twin gets hurt, the other twin gets hurt.
Right.
And she's remembering... We have to talk about this. Her finger falls off in the middle of the movie.
Oh, right.
Dakota is a stripper, and her finger falls off. She, oh, man. And she, like...
Not this again.
And she, like, fucking sews it back on and puts a glove on over. Mm. A sexy glove, but a glove.
I gotta tell you, this movie, I think, is trying to comment on the broken healthcare system in the United States.
Right, because she does say... Hospitals are for rich people, which she's correct.
Yes. Oh, totally.
You can still go to if your fucking finger is off and it's bleeding, you can go to a clinic and sure. then stiff them on the bill.
If it
the old SADAC.
Yeah.
Rotted off.
Yeah.
Like instantaneous rot. I think somebody should look at
it. It's not rot, dude. It's fucking frostbite.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because this dude is like using the dry ice
still,
block.
Either way, instantaneously, go to a fucking hospital or go to the Guinness people.
And how is it
one or the other
in your 17th or 18th year or whatever, you're just noticing this? Like, what happened when Aubrey fell off her bike? What happened when fucking Dakota got a tooth pulled? What right. happened when fucking anything happened?
Right. You know? Totally.
Was Aubrey feeling the fucking?
Yeah, that's a great question,
right?
Oh.
Like a residual orgasm.
Yeah, it turns out this movie didn't think any of that through because it's quite stupid.
So her finger falls off. She watches this video about like these two twins. One gets killed and the other one just gets a bullet hole in his neck and dies.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And that's what Art Bell narrates amiably.
Yeah, I want a bullet hole in my neck.
So she goes to Julia Ormond again, and she's like, look, motherfucker, I am a stigmatic twin. And she's like, no, like, we're going to sit you down. I'm going to make you watch your ultrasound video. And they have this scene where the two of them, like, bond, and I'm like, not in this movie.
No, it's too late.
No.
Because she's like, oh, you know, I carried you all these months, and then, like, for the last 6 weeks, I had to be on my back because you had a problem, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, mother.
No, you don't. Didn't.
No.
I'm Dakota. Dakota.
Let me call Art Bell. We'll figure this out.
We'll let Art Bell weigh in on this.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
All right. Look, did my mother birth me?
Well, that is an interesting question, young lady. Now, tell me about your mother. Was she a devil?
Hello, Art. Can I feel this one? What's your name? I'll pull up your records. I've got them. I've got them here, right here.
I told you to stop calling into this show.
I've even been talking to the dark web now.
Oh, fuck, man. He's made some deals. Like, I can't fuck these guys over. I need to. You have to use me now. I promised them a certain number of searches.
Turns into Ask Silk Road.
Yes.
Do you have meth?
I could mail you heroin.
Oh shit, Yahoo again. All my users are above the age of 60 and terrified of the dark web. All right.
Yeah, this is Hotmail. I'm just smoking here thinking about how libertarianism is correct. I'm not Lindsay Lohan, I'm just, you know, I'm just a smoker.
I'm just another guy.
There's a lot. Everyone sounds the same a little bit.
Turns out Hotmail's Lindsay Lohan's biggest fan.
So she confronts Neil McDonough. This is when she realizes he had to know the whole thing because she's like, you know, oh, I figured it all out. You, when Julia Ormond had the baby died, and then you bought it from my crack whore mother.
Right. How does she make this conclusion?
It's a great question.
Because, like, she is, like, slinging some shit at Neil McDonough, and he's like, I can't wait another 5 years till I'm in that fucking Captain America movie, I'll tell you right now. Or my great stint on Justified.
Yeah.
Anything to get me out of this fucking movie.
Look, I only got the script yesterday. Three people passed. They gave it to me. I am out of my depth right
one
now.
One day I'm going to be paid to be on Arrow. One day. One day.
He played M. Bison too.
He's a big villain on Arrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't watch the show, but I know he's a huge
hit. I think it's Damien Dark, I want to say.
Yes, that sounds right.
Nailed it. He played M. Bison as well in that Secret of Chun-Li movie.
Legend of Chun-Li. Legend Chun-Li has no secrets. It's all in legend form.
Hey, we're Chun-Li here. We don't have any secrets.
Yeah, so she lays in to Neil McDonough, and you're just like, wow, these wild accusations, to which Neil McDonough replies, you got me. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Well, also, like, that's the thing. Is like, then why did you wait all this time? I mean, like, obviously, this is your big secret against your wife or whatever, but, like, when this woman starts saying, like, I'm not this girl, I am a twin, you're not like, oh, right, that girl I bought was a twin.
Oh,
and by the way,
shit.
We should note that twins are half a person and half a soul.
Oh, they say that?
She says it multiple times.
Oh, I think it's fuck, I missed
it's
that.
It's part of her great prose.
Related to her short story.
Oh, right, the fantastic writing.
Mm-hmm.
So then she's like, oh, let me go to the grave of the other girl.
Oh, the girl who was previously murdered, who she's impeding the investigation to solve the mystery.
And she's impeding two investigations, Andrew. She pulls off this blue ribbon and she's like, oh, Neil McDonough, I know who killed me.
Oh, right. Listen, I almost reconsidered throwing myself down those stairs.
Really?
Because
I was already half a foot down.
I can't believe she actually says it.
I know who
it had to
does
happen.
It make it better or
it makes it worse.
Yeah,
it makes it so much worse.
So we should kill ourselves.
This is after she says to Neil McDonough, you're pathetic, go fuck yourself. Some of the worst delivery you have ever seen.
Also, this very strange scene worth mentioning only for one thing. The guy on the bus who had noticed her with
what is
actual
with this?
In the movie sighting of a sizzle chest.
wait. Did I?
This guy comes to her in a dream with a heart tattoo.
Well, yeah. Hang on a second. Yes, backtrack. Yes, the dude on the bus is like, hey, bleeding girl,
hey,
are you
jerky.
All right? Hey there, silly ass. Why are you bleeding on this fucking bus, loser? Who's in charge of this bus? Get me Brett Weir. Someone's bleeding on this bus.
Is that what Lycos sounds like?
Yeah, that's definitely Lycos.
Dude, that.
Yeah, you'll stop fucking using me first, I bet.
Lycos, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Fuck you, jerky.
But yeah, so he's like, sometimes she's like, I got cut. And she's like, I bet you want to know why. He's like, oh, no, sometimes people get cut.
Oh, that's what this dude says on the bus. That's the exchange. So cut to him in this dream.
And he's got a cartoon tattoo on his chest.
And it starts like sizzling because they have bad graphics.
And it reenacts Steamboat Willie.
Was going to make a Steamboat
really?
Mickey joke, yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
Fuck, dude, are we
mind meld?
Yes.
Are your avatar talons intertwining?
Yes, we got to call Art Bell immediately. Art Bell, come out of retirement for the 90th time so we can call you.
West of the Rockies, I'm dead.
Not yet.
Oh, wow. Every time Eric says something to me about Art Bell, my first response is that guy dead?
Yeah.
Like when he was like, guys, Art Bell is in this movie, I was like, is that dude dead? You always got to check in with Art Bell.
Yeah, as far as I know, he's not. But
soon enough, he'll be under the Rockies.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes. I think any day now.
Wow, really?
Well,
is he in
know.
Your
he's
death
in,
pool?
He's been out. I mean, he's up
a,
there.
He should be in a death pool for sure, yeah.
So basically she finds out who kills her. She doesn't tell anybody. She's like, we have to go to this one place right now. By the way, let's not call the cops. By the way, all the FBI agents are mysteriously gone.
Yep.
By the way, we have cell phones in this movie. Just call. Because even Neil McDonough's like, shouldn't we tell the police? She's like, there's no time. Like,
time for what? There's no clock to any of this.
No. Well, no, now she starts getting short of breath because Aubrey is being buried alive in a fucking Star Wars Revenge of the Sith coffin, this big blue fucking coffin. Also, the Virgin Mary's in it.
Right. So that's actually a good point. So she's like, well, this Aubrey must still be alive
because I'm still alive.
Is
that like Padme's
coffin? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it took me a second.
Yeah, it's hard to remember the funeral procession.
Well, just that they make her like the Virgin Mary for some. Oh well, you know, as a lapsed Catholic myself here, you know, Sebulba, we stopped going to church a long time ago, man.
Whole things about the Lord Christ, man. Just fucking look at it the right way. I gotta spell it out for you. Jeez.
Hey, Stephen. Hey, Steven. You ever notice that he kind of looks like the Virgin Mary, man?
Yes, and Steven, just Anakin is a lot like Jesus Christ because they both killed sand people.
Hey, George, buddy, I'm between movies right now. I just did the fucking post, and I'm in the middle of fucking marketing goddamn Ready Player One. You want to shut the fuck up for 5 minutes, buddy?
Oh, come on, man. You told me you'd always hear out my own fan theories.
Man.
I can't keep asking Jeeves about all this stuff.
He gave me a little money back in the fucking 70s, and ever since...
That's right, motherfucker.
It's the worst loan you ever made, man. So let me tell you about Obi-Wan Kenobi being the Holy Spirit.
Oh, you know what? Man. Fuck it. I'm doing another Indiana Jones. Fuck it. You know what? Really?
So she's being buried alive, and Aubrey is short of breath, which kind of doesn't make sense because wouldn't she just die? Dakota in the car.
Right.
Like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
Well, because... I guess because like the person is suffocating. Are we made aware that there's a buried alive coffin situation happening?
Yeah. They showed the guy put her in the coffin.
Oh, yeah. It takes quite a long time.
Oh, Jesus.
This is like 8 minutes of this movie.
More glasswork from this dude. So this guy's.
Okay. I remember that.
Yeah. So,
blue glass, of course.
They drive to this guy's place and they don't tell us who it is. They don't tell us who killed me yet. Neil McDonough's like, I'll take care of this. Again, let's not call the police. I'm going to go in there by myself.
Smart.
And whoops, he takes a long time and gets murdered. And she goes in, and this is my favorite scene of the whole movie. And I thought it was fake. Like, fake even in the movie. Like, she's going in, it's a creepy house, it's all this stuff. She slams this dude's arm into the door and just, like, cuts it off like you would cut off, I don't know, like a piece of fucking sausage.
I think he's made out of cake or something.
It's amazing,
hand,
dude.
With bone and tendons.
You know what? That's a fucking $1,300 knife.
Actually, that's true. When you want to slice through a hand, bone included, really, really quickly, $1,300 Japanese steak knives.
So, like, all right, let's pretend she can even do that. That's even humanly possible.
Yeah.
This dude is dead. Like, that's how that works. Your hand gets cut off, and it's not by a lightsaber that cauterizes the wound.
You don't instantly die. You'll bleed to death.
But you're not running around after Lindsay Lohan. You're not white as a ghost on the floor.
You're not up on 2 feet, period.
Also, I don't think
It depends on how much PCP I did.
Okay. Well, I don't even think this dude, like, makes a noise. Like, the hand comes out from, like, behind a curtain, and she's like, shwow, and it gets cut off.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, damn.
It's like, brr, brr, brr. And you just, like, see the stump, like, go back behind this curtain. I was like, what are we doing? Scream.
It's a puppet show.
Yeah.
It's the fucking worst Punch and Judy ever.
So she finds Neil McDonough, and Neil McDonough's like, I'm a dead. Oh.
Is he in like a bathtub of his own blood?
I have no idea what this is.
I thought at first like, oh shit, she cut her dad's hand off.
What I thought too, actually.
It would have been a better movie if she did.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't. This guy just got ganked from something else, I guess.
So, off screen, by the way.
That's what I want.
I want to see Neil McDonough get it. I want to see him get it.
No, you'll just get him on a baking tray with his own fucking blood.
Who baked my dad.
Sweet. Pot parody locked in.
Nice. You think this titular line, I know who killed me, is like a reference to, I think it was like DOA, the original film noir, where he like walks into the police station. He's like,
yes.
I'd like to report a murder.
My own. Totally.
Okay. I think they're playing with that a little
bit. Well, this guy loves referencing movies that are thousands of times better than his own.
That's right.
What's the, they're outside the marquee in the movie. It's another like...
Murder by Contract.
That's
which
a good
is pretty good.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of like cat and mousing going on here. I think
he ties her up somehow with one arm and the other arm bleeding profusely.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. He's very maybe this guy was like an Eagle Scout.
I'll tell you what he's doing right there. Okay, I'm gonna tie you up and then I'm gonna put you down here and then I'm gonna make some blue glass and then I'm gonna make some blue glass. And I'm gonna put it everywhere.
Oh shit, Mr. White. Anyway, I think what should have happened in this scene is he takes her robot arm.
Yes, right? That would be cool.
Like, quickly to shove it in there.
Well, doesn't the arm get ripped off at one point and, like, she hits him with it or something?
Oh, that's right. She does knock him over with it as well.
Yeah, this is after she... This is another hilarious thing that's supposed to be, like, totally fucked up.
Yeah.
She opens a door in this dude's house, and there's just a bunch of hanging fake legs from the ceiling.
Clute reference. Fuck you.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
The end is like in a bunch of mannequins.
I thought it was a reference to what's the Kubrick Killer's Kiss?
Oh, that might also...
Killing, maybe.
Wherever they're at, like that mannequin
Killer's
factory.
Kiss, I think, is the one with the one down.
The Killing's like where they're at the racetrack.
Yeah. Similar titles.
Yes.
You know, if Irvin Kershner didn't actually take my note, that's where Empire Strikes Back would have ended, in a room full of amputated, full of prosthetic hands.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He never stops. Oh, my God. He never stops.
So they finally get back onto Admiral Akbar's dreadnought, and it's just full of hands, and you're like, wait, what?
Huh? Yeah. And end of the movie.
Hey, Steven, can I get you on my side with this one thing, though, man? Like, they did Luke dirty. Right?
You know what, George? You got me laid once.
Yeah,
and I'm leaving now, okay?
That girl was an 8, dude. You gotta sit down.
You're
so, yeah, they
the
did
wall.
Him dirty, man. How
George, you're talking to the wall. I'm leaving.
Killing all my fave characters, man. It's fucked up.
And Peter Mayhew, man, he's too old for that.
Mr. Lucas, are you okay? Are you still talking?
Yeah, man, it's just that BB-8 is bullshit.
Mr. Spielberg just lit a joint in the hallway.
I mean, if they're circular droids, why are there wheels? Why would anyone have a wheel? Why? Well, I guess there are land speeders, but there are wheels in Star Wars. Just look around.
Yeah, wow, great talent, JJ. Put two fucking beach balls on top of each other and make $1 billion. Fuck you, man.
And you know what, Ryan? Hey, Ryan. Yeah, it's George again. Who is Snoke even supposed to be related to? What the fuck, man? You make a character who's not related to anybody?
Mr. Spielberg, will you come back? He needs somebody. He needs somebody here to talk to.
No, this is not Steven. I'm using his fucking phone, man. That's how you picked up.
Hey, Ryan, man. Brick is bullshit.
Do you really spell your name with an I?
Two N's?
I mean, Jehovah's spelled with an I.
Like, Looper was cool for a while. It kind of fizzles out in the end, dude.
Bruce Willis, what were you smoking?
So,
I'm a fan of Surrogate. Big fan of Surrogates.
That movie is almighty trash, dude.
Hey, fucking Steven, want to come over and watch my print of Surrogates?
It's the only struck 35mm print of Surrogates.
It would be a digital file, because remember how he renounced film when he was making the prequels?
Oh, right.
What an asshole.
So the killer the pianist teacher, the piano teacher.
And it's the dumbest reveal of all time. It's like following this dude's feet, and he sits down at a piano, and he's like one-handed playing a tune.
Because like in the beginning, like he does some tune really well, and it's like, wow, eerie shit.
Yeah.
It's like, who could care about this piano teacher that's not been in the movie? I thought it was going to be the boyfriend, at least, that's sort of something.
But it's just like this room, the huge piano is there, the blue light is coming in through the window. It's like the fucking November Rain video. I mean, it is just hot trash, dude.
Oh, that's Lindsay Lohan's Oscar. She plays Axl Rose.
Oh, there you go. Totally.
In a cold November rain, yeah.
I got inspiration from Albert Nobbs.
I think we've lost it. That's it. Like, that was it.
Okay. Yeah, we're in a DX jersey now.
God, what a mistake.
So, like, I don't know.
She just, like you'd expect there to be build up, like, there would be some type of a real fight, but she just like stabs this dude in the dick and then the neck and then
right
it.
In the dick, though, kind of the only cool part of this movie.
Well,
a little dick shot.
He ties her up under an end table. He's like, I'm gonna kill you now,
right?
But there she finds some like perfect blue glass corkscrew yeah. that he keeps under this end table.
All his weird fucking Lego ice tools, man. You see the whole tray of them.
Between the piano lessons, he's been very busy, Steve.
Fucking yeah. collect the whole set, man.
So she stabs him in the dick, she stabs him in the throat, and then he like goes up to all these prosthetic legs and just falls over, and it's like, who were you, sir? What did you do? Why did you do it?
I mean, that you were like the kindly piano teacher who was legitimately upset that she, a real talent, was quitting.
And, in 18 and who, seconds. Who are you related to?
Yeah, what's your backstory, man?
Father, specifically father.
Make three movies out of this guy's backstory, huh?
Oh, man.
You know, the one thing I liked in that movie, I was like, oh, Snoke, who's he going to be related to? And then, of course, he's related to fucking nobody, man. Fucking porgs, dude. Don't even get me fucking started.
I mean, what's wrong with a dewback?
I thought he was going to be Watto's son eventually.
You could put a bantha in there.
So winds up going... Oh, sorry.
Well, I was going to say right here, because she leaves the house at this point, as Steve was going to say, to go to like the graveyard.
Yeah.
She's escorted by my favorite character in the movie.
Oh, right.
Dude, this CGI owl. The
fuck is this? I mean, I guess it's kind of a Psycho reference, at least in the first part.
The owl, also yeah. Twin Peaks, right?
Kind Big of. Time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a little bit of everything.
And the owl's like, hoo, hoo, she's right there, hoo. It's like, all right, cool, owl. Thank you, Mr. Owl. She digs her out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the owl also finds out how many licks of the tootsie.
I was just going to say, Mr. Owl and that annoying little boy are both in the board game movie, I bet.
Oh yeah.
Totally. We're now, well, because they're in Candyland. They're stuck in Candyland.
Totally. Yeah. Yep.
And Miss, what would we say, Peacock?
Yeah.
Has to,
she's the protagonist.
Right. Well, they need to seize the memes of candy production to take down Mr. Moneybags. So now he's got no candy to sell on the boardwalk. All right.
This is all coming together really easy, by the way.
After the battle with the Operation Monster.
I mean, literally, yes. If this movie ever happens, which it probably will, because the Emoji Movie exists, by the way, we're going to be doing that on April 8th. That.
NYCpodfest.com.
You need to pay us money now, because now you're ripping this off. Now that's it.
Also, no, here's how we tie in this movie to the board game movie. Now, gets abducted by the operation guy.
Uh-huh.
And that
they call him, in the movie, by the way, they call him Johnny Rednose.
Johnny Rednose takes
who
her
would have to be
to
a zombie, because like he's got fucking like corkscrews and he's fucking
missing all
wrenches
sorts of shit
in his fucking heart.
He's a vengeful zombie that was... Yes. All the malpractice through the capitalism, which, you know, Moneybag owns all the hospitals.
Yeah, it's.
So they butcher this dude, and he wants to get revenge on just anyone. So he kidnaps Miss Peacock, played by Lindsay Lohan, and like fucking cuts off her arm and her leg.
Yeah. Oh, right. Much like I Know Who Killed Me.
Yep.
Perfect. It's all coming together.
And then, we're going to gender swap Colonel Mustard. Now it's a woman that is also a twin of Lindsay Lohan.
This is all perfect. I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm. Colonel
Julie
Mustard.
Yeah. Call me Julie Mustard.
So the last shot of this movie is she digs up Aubrey, mm-hmm. who's still alive, pulls her out of this stained glass coffin.
No, she doesn't.
What do you mean?
She lays down, like, that's what you should do. You find
she lays down and makes Aubrey climb out?
No, she just lays down. The way I saw it, she just lays down in the fucking coffin with her, and then it pans away.
She breaks open the coffin and like, pulls her out.
She does pull her out, dude, because they're laying in the dirt at the end of the movie.
I thought it was in the coffin.
No. Mm. No. They're outside. They're right next to the grave, and this girl's like... She doesn't say anything, but she's like trying to, you know, breathe normally again. And Lindsay Lohan, like... This Dakota, the bad girl one, like fucking spoons up next to her, and that's the end of the movie.
Well, the end of the movie was supposed to be, which is so stupid, which we said, it was like it was supposed to be the story the whole time, but you would know it was also played by Lindsay Lohan, and she'd be wearing purple. You know why, guys? What does red and blue make?
Oh.
Right?
What yellow.
And what does Miss Peacock wear?
Is that black?
Miss Peacock?
Purple. No, blue, blue, yeah, blue.
Purple. Purple. All sorts of colors. She was dressed like a peacock in the movie.
Oh, right.
I thought it was purple.
You're thinking of Ms. White, the
Madeline Kahn.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah. The maid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the end of this fucking movie, huh? Just, what are we? I know who killed me. I know who killed me.
Yeah, listener request month.
Fucking Char from Sacramento killed me this week.
We should name. I wish I had all the names in front of me. I'd read them out like a fucking goddamn like a police report.
Police. I'm still getting over fucking Weinberg last week. Scott Weinberg with goddamn Tarzan the Ape Man. That
the
was
best
torture.
Movie of the bunch was the Jerky Boys. How did that happen?
That's something, man. And boy, does it just feel like a lifetime ago.
Yes. I guess I would not recommend this movie. It's almost a watch it. Like, it's almost kind of sort of worth watching, I think, right?
No.
All right, you're right. I'm wrong.
Chris Cabin.
Absolutely not. Avoid at all costs.
Yeah, this is not for anyone.
No, and I mean, while you're at it, man, watch movies by David Lynch, movies by Alfred Hitchcock, movies by Brian De Palma, all the things this motherfucker is inspired by. That
what? Movies by Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Movies by Michael Bay. Go see them all.
Watch the Jerky Boys, man.
Definitely. Watch The Last Jedi, which I'm super excited to see again. By the way, we liked that movie. I didn't want anyone to think that we were making fun of The Last Jedi because it's a great movie. We're not that podcast.
Oh, here come the one-star review.
No, I can't wait. We didn't like Star Wars, so one star, we're racist.
Yeah, that's iTunes.
Sounds about right.
And that's I Know Who Killed Me, directed by Chris Sivertson. Thank you to everybody who called in for this month. Of course, we're just joking here, man. This is literally the point of the show is to talk about trashy movies. And I'm just saying we selected a bunch of whoppers, man. One whopper after the next, topping each other week after week. Head on over to whmpodcast.com or find us over at the HeadGum Network for more We Hate Movies programming. Facebook.com/WeHateMovies, at WHMPodcast on Twitter. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com for that sweet, sweet mailbag.
Oh, I'm just being handed an item from the newsroom, apparently.
Is it? Do we have a Patreon?
No, the president has... No, that's... We have a Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies. This month's premium episode at the $5 level is Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. You pledge at that level, you get 19 Animation Damnations, our cartoon episodes, and more to come, plus episodes on Bright, Man of Steel, and again, there will be more. Also, there's an $8 level where we have the Nexus, where we do a Star Trek. Sounds weird after all that Star Wars talk.
Yeah.
Recap show.
And this month, because it was Listener Response Month, we did a TNG episode and a Deep Space Nine episode. And it was both pretty filthy.
Oh, it was disgusting.
Wait, second item. Oh, my God. The World War commentary tracks. We have commentary tracks also at the $8 level. There's a bunch. I'm just go over the Patreon and check it out.
The World War commentaries are very long. I'm gonna just tell you that. So take a day. Right. Take a day to listen.
It's very serious. It's like Ken Burns style. Yeah.
And next week on the program, we're out of a listener request month. Steve Sadak, what are we doing?
Oh, we are doing this is the one we've kind of teased a little bit. A Shrek.
Oh, shit. Look at that. Mike
just
Myers.
Shrek. Just Shrek.
Robbing the grave of Chris Farley.
Jesus Christ.
All right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Horror behind it.
You know, if you think you like this movie, you don't.
Yes.
I feel like this could be a nostalgia buster for some people. I was old enough to hate this movie immediately.
I remember liking the first one, but I've never gone back to it, so...
I didn't really like it.
I don't know. So I guess we'll see. So next week on the program, where dreams may be shattered, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Schreck.
Take it easy.
A little preview there.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.